Well, it's December 4th, and what a great way to start this Christmas season, to be together and to get our hearts right and to get perspective right. Christmas has so many different meanings to different people in this world and to really us in this room, too. For me, growing up, I did not grow up in a Christian home, so what Christmas was all about to me was, and maybe not in this order, but possibly the first one, that would be presents, decorations, lights, Christmas tree, Santa Claus. He was a part of our home all growing up. Christmas carols, because even unbelievers sing Christmas carols. In fact, I had a little, it was a book about this big, I still have it, and a nice little red cover and a nice family with a Christmas tree on it with the Christmas carols in it, and I loved to sing as a little girl, and I remember I would go into, we had a living room and a family room, and the tree was in the living room, and we had the big colored bulbs on the tree, and then the big shiny bulbs, which of course is all back in right now, but the big shiny bulbs, and I would go in there all by myself and take my book and turn the lights off, but the Christmas lights, and I would lay under the tree, and I would look up where you could see your big face in the bulb, you know, and I would sing my little heart out every, I'd go through my book and sing every single one of those songs, clueless as to the meaning or who I was singing about, but I just loved to do that, and that was a huge part of my Christmas. And then, of course, because I was a kid, there were those few Christmas cartoons that were on that maybe they still play, you know, How the Grinch Stole Christmas and Frosty the Snowman and the Snoopy one, you know, because back then we didn't have the VCR or anything and you just watch what was on. And so it was a huge treat. And the Christmas movies, It's a Wonderful Life, and then the Christmas cookies and Christmas treats. And my mom had a friend who did the sugar cookies that, I mean, just elaborate decorations on there. You would go to her house and it wouldn't just be in the kitchen, it would be all over the dining room, all over the house. And I don't know how many hundreds she made, but that was just a huge thing as a little kid to get those Christmas cookies. And then, of course, Christmas was about family, grandparents, aunts, and uncles. I had lots, but we weren't close at all. And we didn't hardly see them, but you better believe you saw them on those holidays, because that's what families did, right? Because you're a family, even though you have no idea who these people are. They're, you know, that's what it was about. And so it was a very short-lived festive time, but it was meaningless. It came and it went, and it left me with absolutely nothing. Maybe a few toys, but that was about it. There was no God, no Jesus, no joy, no peace, no satisfaction, and absolutely no purpose at all. And that is what Christmas is like to most of this world. The people in this world who do not know the Lord, that is the way their Christmas is spent. And they look like from the outside that it's a great time because they've got the lights and the Christmas parties and all that. You know, they're in your family, your neighbors, your coworkers. You know how it is. And yet there's no meaning. There's no purpose. And sadly, it can also be that way for many Christians, many people who know the Lord, because they can forget, and they can even have their priorities mixed up this time of year. And we can go through the entire month, and at the end of the month, we like, oh, that's right. Or Christmas Day, Christmas Eve service at church, then we remember. And it shouldn't be that way for any of God's people. When my eyes were open, and I'm sure you were the same way, when I came to know who God is and came to know Jesus as my Savior, Christmas took on a whole new meaning. And I remember that first Christmas when I heard those Christmas songs. It was like an explosion went off. I could not believe this is who I was singing about. You mean these songs, they actually tell a story. I mean, they were just songs in a tune to me. They were just, you know, words and just, that's it. But it just, the light goes on. There's meaning. There's life. It was just, that first Christmas was just wonderful. Of course, they've all been wonderful. And if the presents were removed, if the decorations, the lights, the trees, the goodies were all removed, it would not change the celebration in my heart. And it wouldn't change the joy, because Jesus is the heart of Christmas. He's the purpose. He's the meaning. He's the reason for this season. It's all about Jesus. So take everything else away, and as a child of God, I can have joy and I can celebrate this time of year without all the hoop-de-doo. And it's just absolutely wonderful. But then again, even those who love the Lord, we can get caught up in all of the gift buying and the wrapping and the decorating and the baking and the entertaining. And yes, even those wonderful Christmas church programs. I mean, many of you have probably been in them over the years, and you know, you can get caught up in doing that and forget what it's all about. So it's always good at the beginning of this season for us to just take that time to sit and reflect and to remember, and to not just remember here, and I am speaking to myself also, but not just to remember here, but to let it go into my heart, and that the deep places and the meditation of my heart, to remember, to reflect, and to worship Jesus, the gift of that God has given us, and this wonderful time of year that we celebrate, because we celebrate Him. So I just want to take just a few minutes to remember who and what we celebrate. And if we haven't done this already in this fourth day of December, let's turn to Luke chapter 2 and read that Christmas account. And let's try to read it like we've never heard it before. Let's go back to when our eyes were opened and that first Christmas that we knew the Lord, or if you were brought up in a Christian home, that first Christmas that the light really went on for you. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. And this census first took place while this guy was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was, while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with an angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known this saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. In that verse 11, "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, Christ the Lord." And he was a promised Savior, a Redeemer, a Rescuer, a Deliverer, promised before time began. It speaks of Jesus and says that he is the Lamb of God slain before the foundations of the earth. Promised before time began. Promised in the garden after the fall, when sin entered into the world and God promised a Savior to them. Isaiah prophesied, "For unto us a child is born, a son is given." And then in the New Testament, where Gabriel came to Mary in Luke chapter 1 and said to her, "You will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And then the angel of the Lord spoke to Joseph, who was betrothed to Mary at the time, and he said that Mary, his wife, would bring forth a son, and "You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save people from their sins." A promised Savior. God promised to bring a Savior into this world. That is who we celebrate. That is why we celebrate. And sometimes we forget that. And so here we are at the beginning of December, and our hearts are stirring. I hope the Lord is stirring your heart already in worship and thanksgiving to him for that promised Savior, Jesus. And it tells us in Acts that there isn't salvation in any other, for no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Jesus and Jesus only. Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus, God the Son, Savior, Rescuer, Deliverer, Redeemer. Just praise him. Praise him. Because God is love. Don't you love that? God is love. God loves. Because that is who he is. He doesn't change. He is love and he loves. He provided salvation to undeserving, rebellious, and wicked mankind. Not just Adam and Eve because of the sin, but every single person that came from them. And here we are in this room today, undeserving, rebellious, and yes, even wicked people that we are, because God is love and he loves. He has provided a Savior for us, and he didn't have to do it. And I say that a lot to the Lord. You didn't have to. And you don't have to. Because our God is in heaven and he does whatever he pleases. He's God. He is God. And sometimes we forget that. He is God. He is in charge. He can do whatever he wants. He spoke and the world was created. Okay, he holds everything in his hand. Just let go for a nanosecond and we're gone. We are gone. We are nothing. He didn't have to. But because he's love, He does. He saves. He didn't have to. He didn't have to promise. He could have started all over. But he didn't, because he loves. There's a verse in Titus that it does something to my heart every time I read it. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward us appeared, he's kind and he's loving, and he gave his beloved Son. He promised, and he's faithful, and he never goes back on a promise. He promised and he gave. 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Thanks be to God. Thank you, God, for your indescribable, unbelievable, merciful, gracious, kind, loving gift of your Son, our Savior. God gave, and then Jesus came. You have the Father's heart. You have the Father's love, his promise, his provision. And then you have the Son, Jesus, and he came. Philippians chapter 2. Here, Jesus, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and he became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. So God loved and God gave, and Jesus came, emptied himself. He's in heaven, in his rightful place, in all the glory that is there, in the perfection that is there. There's no wickedness. There's no evil. You want to be there. You want to be there in that perfectness where there's nothing that's disturbing. But because of the Father's heart and because of Jesus' heart and his love, he willingly came. He emptied himself. He humbled himself. He set aside all of that majesty of heaven to come and to be born to a human, to be born literally in a manger, in a feeding trough, into this world. So I love the song that Alyssa just led us in, Welcome to Our World. Like, you know, you listen, and I hope we did, as she was singing, to every single one of those words and those lines in that song, Jesus came. He humbled himself. He loves. The love of the Father and the love of the Son. For unto you is born this day a Savior, Christ the Lord. Because of God's love, because of his mercy, because of his grace, and Jesus came, and he came to save us, to save us, to rescue us, to redeem us, deliver us. Did we need to be saved? Did we need to be rescued and delivered? Yes, from the penalty of sin, because all have sinned. All have sinned. We have fallen short. God's standard is perfection, and we fall short. One little tiny sin, and boy, do we have a lot of sin. But even one little tiny sin, that's it. And Jesus came to pay the penalty for our sin. The wages of sin is death. Do we deserve to be saved? No. And you know what? There's a whole world out there, and probably, well, you can't have more than the world because the world is what it is, but of people that think they're deserving. And even as Christians, sometimes we just think, oh, it's not fair. Like, I deserve something. Hello? We don't deserve anything. The wages of sin is death, but Jesus came. God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might be the righteousness of God in him. Praise the Lord. there's no other way. There is no other way. And he came and he did it. And he was born to die, the manger to the cross. And you know, it's not Easter, so we're not talking about the cross, but how you can't leave the cross out of it. This is why he came. You know, I love Christmas, but it always makes me look to the cross. It always makes me look ahead to Easter, to Resurrection Sunday, because of all he is and all he did and what it means. Jesus came to save us from the penalty of our sin and from the power of sin. In Romans 6, it tells us our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, and that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Praise God for that, that I don't have to be a slave for sin. Were you a slave to sin at one time in your life? Yes, we all were a slave to sin. What sin told us to do, we did it. Some of us eagerly. Some of us couldn't wait. Some of us fought it a little bit. But even if you fought it, you fell. You're a slave to sin. But he came to save us from the power of sin. No, we're not under that power. We're under God's Holy Spirit power, more than conquerors. And Jesus saved us from eternity without him. You can't even comprehend that. I mean, we cannot comprehend eternity. I mean, you sit there and you go down. I mean, some of us can go a little further than others, but, you know, the smoke starts going pretty quickly in me. You know, it's just like, okay, I don't get it. I don't understand. I just, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Eternity. You know, you think walking and living in this earth without the Lord, which I did for almost 21 years. I was awful. It was empty. It was just horrible. It was existence. It was just like nothing. There's no purpose, nothing. And try living eternity like that, only worse, because you're in the eternal lake of fire. It's not a real comfortable place. He came to save us from that. Now, I didn't give that one bit of thought when I gave my life to him. I didn't have a clue at all. What I gave thought to was my next point, and Jesus has saved us from ourselves. How many of us would have self-destructed without him? I would, well, obviously I wouldn't, if I was without him, I wouldn't be here, but I wouldn't be alive. I would have been gone a long time ago. I would have been they would have locked me up, or I would have been dead. But God provides us a savior to save us from all these things and to save us from ourselves. Our stupidity, our going our own way and thinking we know best. Saving us from a crazy mind, mixed up mind. Praise the Lord. Praise God for his indescribable gift of our Savior. What love. What love. And if you don't feel love, you don't feel love tonight, oh, the Lord loves you. Like no one loves you, the Lord loves you. And this Christmas season, Jesus, you know, it's a little saying that we say and put on a bumper sticker, but it's true. Jesus is the reason for the season. He is the one we celebrate. He is the heart of this Christmas time. And as you walked in the door, you were given a little gift. And that little booklet, I think you are going to enjoy with the Lord. And you, whether you read it nice and slow or you read it over and over and over again this Christmas time, the Lord's going to draw you really close to him through those words in that book. But I want to just read what it said in the introduction. Jesus is the heart of everything that is true, that is good, and that is holy. He is the heart of love and all it gives, the heart of righteousness and all it represents, the heart of mercy and all it restores, the heart of kindness and all it embraces, the heart of grace and all it provides, all that our hearts have ever desired, every need we face, every truth we seek, every blessing we long for is found in Jesus Christ. There is no other person, no other relationship, no other provision, and no other source that God will use to meet our deepest needs. All things are in Jesus Christ, and we are complete in Him. It's all Jesus, all about Him. It's okay to enjoy the lights, to enjoy the tree, to enjoy the decorations, to enjoy the holiday foods and beverages that come out this time of year. It's okay to enjoy the shopping, the baking, the wrapping, the giving. It's okay to enjoy the fellowship with family and friends. God has given us those things to enjoy, but our hearts need to stay with the heart of Christmas, with Jesus. So you do whatever the Lord has called you to do, and however you want to bless people this month with those things that He has given you to bless people with. But when you keep your heart in the center of Jesus, of God's gift, and you are worshiping Him as you are going about your day and doing these things, and you spend time with Him every single day this month, if that is not a part of your regular life anyway, make it a part this month. And you spend time with Him, worshiping Him, and reading that little book and reading the Word and reading this Christmas account and the gift of God's Son and His provision, you will not be disappointed on December 26th. You will be satisfied. It will pull you up out of a sad heart, a grieving heart. It'll rise you above your circumstances and hard things that you are going through. You will be satisfied as you sit and as you reflect on God's gift, as you worship your Savior. There is no other. And what I just thank the Lord that He can take us, bring us into this place so we can quiet our hearts and we can remember these things right at the beginning, and that this, whatever's going on in your heart, whatever He's speaking to you, I don't know, there's worship going on in my heart, that this will just carry over to tomorrow, the next day, I got to refill it, but as we go through the month, and then that joy that Damian talked about on Sunday, that'll come forth from our lives, and people will ask us, and what, why are you so happy this Christmas season? And we get to tell them. So praise the Lord that we get to hear these things and enjoy the gift of His Son together in just in worship. And Alyssa's going to lead us in one last song so we can let these things sink down into our hearts. Father, thank You. We just cannot put into words. Thanks be to God for Your indescribable gift. Lord, You know what You have done in every heart that's here tonight. You know the pit that You've brought us out of. You know what You've saved us from. And Father, we want to just thank You from the bottom of our heart for the gift of salvation. Thank You, Jesus, that You humbled Yourself and that You came to this earth for us to see the Father's heart, His love. Thank You that You willingly went to the cross took our sins upon you, and we are righteous. Praise you, Lord, and thank you. Thank you for this time that we can celebrate. Thank you for perspective. Thank you that nothing else matters. Let it all fall away, Lord, as we just gaze upon you and worship you.